You're tuned in to Apex Express on Pacifica Radio. I'm Tara Taravji. Tonight, we're going to be discussing India's Daughter, a new documentary of the 2012 brutal gang rape of a 23-year-old woman on a Delhi bus who died from the injuries caused from the assault. The death and rape of Jyoti spurred massive nonviolent protests that lasted over a month in Delhi and across India. The documentary captures Jyoti through the memories of her parents and friends. It ventures further and deep into the jails, speaking with one of the perpetrators of the crime. The film is banned in India among a torrent of praise and widespread critique. Right now, we'll go to one of the clips.
On 16th December 2012, at around 8:30 p.m., a 23-year-old medical student was on her way home from a movie with a male friend. The couple boarded a private bus, which claimed to be going their way. Her friend was badly beaten and she was dragged to the back, where she was gang raped by six men as the bus drove round and round the highways. According to the latest government figures, a woman is raped in India every 20 minutes. But most rapes are unreported. This rape led to unprecedented protests erupting across India. The silence has been broken.
Those were the sounds of India's Daughter, a new documentary just released, and you're tuned into Apex Express on KPFA. Tonight, we're joined on the line by Palmata Ravi. She's a Bangalorean feminist journalist, documentary filmmaker, to discuss the film. Padma, thank you so much for joining us on KPFA.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, Tara.
Absolutely. Talk to us about your reaction to the film. The film, you know, depicts the story of Jyoti and the horrendous, terrible crime that was committed against her, and captures the voices of perpetrators as well, and has been banned in India.
My first reaction to it was, of course, before I even saw the film, because the media actually talked about the film from the rapist point of view. And that was my first glimpse of the film, and it shocked me. Not because it was something new, but because of the way he was so brazen about what he thought was the reason behind the rape. But when I did watch the film, I realized that that was something that shouldn't have been highlighted in the way it was, because the film is widely assumed to be insulting to the Jyoti Singh, who was the victim of the violent rape. But it is not. I mean, if you look at the film, it talks about what she believed in so strongly, and all her life, all of her 23 years that she struggled through, was to fight against patriarchy. And she was a great believer in equality. And that comes across very strongly in the film.
What really struck me in the film was her father. the way that he spoke about her, his support, the story that they sold their ancestral land to educate her, to put her into school, and the way, you know, I mean, at the end of the film, he talked about how her death has sparked something in a conversation about what is the meaning of woman and how are women looked upon in society today. And I could not believe his strength and endurance. And in that way, I thought it captured a very strong male perspective in the film as well.
Exactly. That's what went missing in the public discourse that happened after this, you know, the film was put up on YouTube, because the film and the critique and the discussion around it was around the rapist and completely left out the very important aspect of the father and the mother who were supporting the daughter all along. And even, you know, there are situations when the women are blamed for the rape. And it's pretty common across. It's not just an Indian phenomenon. It's pretty common across. Women are always blamed for it. But here were the, you know, two people who were supporting her and saying it shouldn't have happened. And they backed her up. And that male perspective was completely ignored in the discussion.
Do you think a lot of it is because it is around sexual violence and how taboo sexual violence is that the critique of the film has gotten straight in this way? Because to me, I mean, the film was, just tremendously powerful in terms of capturing what happened to this young woman and the power of her family and her spirit and her perseverance.
From the way I see it, the problem is twofold. One is the way the film kind of generalizes the issue of sexual violence, right? Though it talks about only one particular incident, if you look at the film, it comes across as a very generic overview of why sexual violence happens in India, which I don't think is the right way to go about it, because it's about one particular incident, and it's not really the reasons that the film talks about is about the poverty in India. And I don't think that's the only reason sexual violence happens. Sexual violence happens across developed nations, developing nations, across the world, but poverty is not the only reason.
And it's
a bigger, nuanced discussion.
And it's across class lines. I mean, there's no differentiation in amounts.
Exactly.
In terms of the film, more broadly, one of the things that it kind of touched on but didn't go deep into is the intense nonviolent movement of men and women, and really led by women, that her death and the violent rape spurred. Can you talk a little bit about that?
See, this is not the first incident of sexual violence that was reported in the media, right? But for some reason, this caught the attention of an entire country which had never spoken about this before, right? The reason that there was international attention on the issue was not because of the rape, but because of the response of the country, which was extremely positive. People stood by the side of the victim for the first time ever, and there were protests across across gender, across economic and social strata of the society. There was no, I mean, I have been part of those protests in that one month. I was not in Delhi, but I was here in Bangalore. But there were protests here, and there were people coming from all across the society. There were parents, there were children, there were young people, old people, men, women. Everybody was there in support and demanding that the women be treated as individuals. That is another problem that the film, you know, puts across. The title itself, India's Daughter, although it was, of course, manufactured by the Indian media at that point of time, but the film puts the focus back on patriarchy. saying that, you know, she belongs to somebody. The whole struggle for the whole 1 month that was there and continuing since then was about the demand was to treat women as individuals and not somebody's property. She doesn't have to belong to somebody for you to be treating her as an individual. She should be treated as herself.
What do you think enabled the widespread visible reaction? I think, you know, here situated in the United States where sexual violence and rape is a huge, huge issue, and it's something that women deal with all the time on all levels, and yet when we have, and, you know, we have heinous, horrible crimes in visible spaces where people don't get involved, yet we've never had any type of, you know, this level of people mobilizing day after day after day. Was part of it the police resistance and the way that it was squelched that really amplified it? Or what do you think really empowered people to come out in droves in that way?
I think the biggest reason was, you know, she was just doing, I mean, it was an everyday life that was interrupted. It could have been any one of us women. The biggest discussion we've had about this particular rape is that it could have been any one of us, because it could have been us going to a movie with a friend anywhere in the country. It just happened to be that particular night in Delhi, and it happened to be Jyoti, but it could have been any one of us. The everydayness of the event is what struck most people, and the young men and women who got out there were people who realized that it could happen to any one of us. And I think it kind of broke the silence that we've all kept around the issue. The biggest thing that has happened since the incident is that it's no more a taboo subject to be brought up in home. Right? 20 minutes into any kind of get together, we are discussing women's safety. It doesn't matter who. It's just not about you know, similar age people or young people. It involves the older, you know, the older people, the young people. The discussion is there, and in fact, one of the reasons that my earlier film Good Girls Don't Dance was made was in response to this rape. And when I talked, the film was to explore the notions that people have about sexual harassment, molestation, and rape. And when I spoke to ordinary people, there were responses as wide-ranging as what you see in Arvind's film. They were talking about women's clothes. They were talking about women's right to be on the streets late in the night. So what this incident has done is put women's safety and women's place in the society as a regular discussion point at homes, which was never done before. It was always hush-hush. The women would discuss instances of sexual harassment that they have faced among themselves, but they never discussed it with the men. And that is not the case anymore.
And Padmalata, we're almost out of time. In your last minute, can you tell me what is the women's movement in India right now really focused on?
It's not one thing, actually. The biggest thing, I think, is to reclaim the right to be heard and right to be in spaces that we're not expected to be. In fact, earlier this year, we had a movement on an online movement, if you want to call it, where they were talking about, to occupy public spaces. So there was a campaign that talked about the right to loiter. So they asked women, young women, and women across all age groups, in fact, to post pictures of themselves claiming, you know, public spaces. And it was a fantastic 3-week campaign. But that is one. That is happening at the urban level, at the social media level. But there are movements at the grassroots level where the women are taking measures to be heard. I think that's one of the biggest challenges right now, to be heard. Be it in the budget, where we're discussing how much money is being spent on the gender aspect of it, be it politics, where we are, you know, still asking for 33% reservation, which is an issue that's almost forgotten, but it's going to come up again. So it's happening at multiple levels right now. And I think the biggest thing is to be, you know, treated as individuals and to be heard.
Well, Padmal, thank you so much for joining us. And it's wonderful to hear you from India. And thanks for getting up early this morning to join us in discussion about India's daughter.
Thank you so much for having me, Tara.
And you're tuned into KPFA. It's Apex Express. I'm Tara Darabji, and we're going to continue the conversation with about India's daughter. We actually are thrilled to have us on the have with us online the director, Leslie Edwin. We had a little trouble getting her on the line, but we made the connection. So, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us tonight on KPFA.
Hello, good evening, and I'm thrilled to join you.
Yeah, thanks for staying up so late, and so sorry that we had the misconnection with the number. So glad that we got you in here at the last minute. And the film is amazing. I know that there's a huge amount of support for it. The Indian government has banned it, and then there's also waves of critique. I found the film to be amazing. Nauseating, and you shot inside the jail. Why did you decide to interview one of the perpetrators?
Because I believe that to get a meaningful answer to the question, why do men rape? Why do men commit these horrendous, heinous offenses against women? You need to ask them. You need to find out what their attitudes to women are. Who was the first woman they encountered? What did they think of her? What do they think of women in general? You can't just surmise or read about these things from, you know, one or two psychological studies. If you're looking at a particular case through which you're examining an issue, you need to speak to the participants in that case. Of course, the other thing I feel very strongly is that if we want to change something, we really need to understand it.
What was it like for you to go inside and have this conversation with a convicted perpetrator of such a heinous crime who showed no real remorse?
Yeah, I interviewed five rapists on film, four of which were not actually involved in this specific case. And I interviewed three of the rapists in this case, but only one of them over a sustained period of 3 days of interview, 16 hours in total, on film. The whole experience of sitting in front of all the rapists I interviewed, so there were seven in total, was extremely surprising. I just kept on feeling reversals of expectation, because I came there fully prepared to be faced with monsters. You know, the media, in terms of the rapists in this particular case, the media had told us firmly that these were aberrants in nature, they were psychopaths, they were hate-filled monsters who had ripped intestines out of this victim. And I was prepared to meet with lunatics, animals, psychopaths. And the most chilling fact was that they were not that. They were far from that. On the contrary, these were apparently normal, extremely ordinary, and certainly unremarkable men. Now, that in itself was such a shock to my system. I also anticipated that I would feel extreme anger. And I didn't feel anger. I felt the deepest sadness for the world, the most profound sense of pity for the world, that contains these men and their acts and their thoughts, and that actually teaches men and boys to think in a particular way about women. So on every level, my experience was a surprise to me.
Leslie Edwin, I would love to carry this conversation on for another half hour. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. You are the director of India's Daughter. In our last few minutes, what about meeting with her parents? What was the most profound moment of hope for you in filming this amazing documentary?
Meeting with her parents was an absolute inspiration. They are so dignified. They are so eloquent in their grief and in their wisdom in processing the greatest loss that I can imagine. I'm a parent of two children, and I can't imagine anything worse than losing a child. They are so utterly wise. I mean, they come out with statements in this documentary that just make your spine chill with admiration for them, for their forbearance, for their courage, and their quite profound poetic wisdom. And they make the most extraordinarily persuasive points. I mean, the mother, for example, says, if it's okay to marry a girl at the age of 12, why is it not okay to punish a boy at 15, 16, 17 who rapes and murders a young woman? You know, they leave you with such persuasive and profound questions that they really, move the debate forward and the conversation forward. And that was the whole point of making this film, was carrying the torch forward, in terms of all the good work that is done by so many activists and feminists over the decades. It's about continuing the fight. No one film can do it. And I suppose the greatest moment of hope, really, was for me the global launch here in New York on Monday night, when the most extraordinary people came with, support that has fortified me at a very dark time, at a time when India has banned the film, has actually made me so sad, so upset, because my whole aim in making this documentary was actually to hold the example of the Indian people whose courage and determination and optimism and hopefulness about changing things was, to me, a sort of example to the world, because civil society in India endured the most adverse conditions for over a month while it came out onto the streets to fight for my rights. And this film, in a sense, was a debt of gratitude to them. And then the banning somehow subverted the integrity of those good intentions and turned this into something that was indeed causing people to point fingers at India. But as India, a democracy that was trampling on free speech, and this was never my intention. And it's with great sadness that this has happened, But the hopefulness I felt on Monday night, when the most extraordinary supporters, people like Meryl Streep, Dakota Fanning, Frida Pinto, the Undersecretary of State, the Undersecretary General of the United Nations, Baroness Valerie Amos, Chris Martin of Coldplay, the most extraordinarily wonderful role models and supporters, came out having seen the film, pledging their support, pledging to help the campaign to fight and put on the agenda at long last the question of respect for women, equality for women, and safety for women the world over. This is not an India problem. This is a global problem.
Leslie Edwin, thank you so much for joining us on Apex Express.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a short music break and be right back.